This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I'm glad we're not doing observations today, because then you'd ask me about the weather, and then I'd have to be depressed for like 3 minutes. So I'm glad we get to avoid the misery of the weather today. But
time out.
Somehow I think we are going to do observations, and it's not going to be at 10:30. It's probably going to be at 8:57 this morning.
An early observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this observation could take up at least an hour of the show.
Yes.
At least an hour.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. 100%. Oh,
yeah. 100%. And on top of it, I'm actually thinking about doing a CMT observations hybrid.
Wait, hang on a second.
I don't know if we're ready for that, though.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing.
That could be
too
much.
All of a sudden, on a rainy Thursday, a CMT observations hybrid?
The people need it. Dave, the people need it. I need it.
Especially Mets fans.
Oh, don't even start. If this is true,
there's no way it's true. There's no way that this is going to fall through.
Part of this has to be true. Like this is definitely there are conversations going on right now between De Blasio and Jessica Ramos. And I'm telling you right now, the main culprit in this is A-Rod's group. It's Reinsdorf and A-Rod.
Reinsdorf is the ringleader to this whole thing.
They're pushing this thing. I'm telling you right now.
Well, they don't want Cohen to be an owner. And they want A-Rod, J-Lo, and that group to be able to own a team.
Well, don't forget, this is who Jessica Ramos endorsed, was A-Rod's group.
Correct.
Yeah, she wrote that op-ed this summer,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And laid it all out and saying why she wanted them to be a part of Major League Baseball and what it would do for the city. But, I mean, in looking at the resources that Steve Cohen is bringing to the table and then the sheer sales price for the Mets, I don't understand how this is a negative for anybody involved outside of Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo. Where's the negative for the city? Where's the negative for the Mets? Where's the negative for Queens? I mean, to me, everybody's a winner except for A-Rod and J-Lo, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Listen, they had their opportunity to buy the team.
They just don't have deep enough pockets, Dave, that's okay. That's okay. If a billionaire comes along and he wants to buy the New York Mets and he has $14 billion, he would be the richest owner in baseball. Where's the downside to that for New York City? That's the part of it that doesn't make sense. So when I hear about what's going on with Bill de Blasio and Jessica Ramos getting involved with this thing, I just don't understand what grounds or what basis do they have to not want Steve Cohen to be a part of Major League Baseball and not to own the Mets.
They're going to go back to the fact that he was fined a large amount.
So, Dave, so what
difference? You know, I don't feel like that, but that's what they're going to go back to.
Why do they want to stand on some kind of moral high ground that they're just making up on the fly to try to get the team to somebody that they happen to be friends with?
That's what they're going to try to do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you didn't want somebody that was involved with criminal dealings, then why didn't you tell the Wilpons and the Katz family to get rid of the Mets a long time ago? Let's not forget they were involved with that whole Madoff thing in Sterling Equities. They had to settle a lawsuit. They were dragged to federal court. Like, come on, man, let's not try to pretend like we're standing on some type of moral high ground because Steve Cohen's company had some shady individuals that ended up pleading guilty to insider trading and they had to pay a penalty to the SEC.
Or forget about Steve Cohen's.
A-Rod.
Alex Rodriguez.
With the Biogenesis thing.
I mean, he's suspended
Major League
by baseball.
He tried to sue Major League Baseball.
And the Yankees doctors. I mean, he was the most persona non grata player out there in the game of baseball. And now all of a sudden, he's done a great job of repairing his image. But all of a sudden, he's the sympathetic figure in this case?
He's not, Dave. He's not the sympathetic figure. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, but the only reason why, if you're Bill de Blasio, you wouldn't let this sale go through is for the exact reason why we're even having this conversation right now on what Steve Cohen did. And it had to pay that huge settlement to the SEC. Like $1.8 billion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There has to be ulterior motives. There has to be other shady ulterior motives involved. Otherwise, why would you choose this to be a fight?
Yeah, this part about it doesn't make any sense. I honestly thought it was a foregone conclusion. And I don't know why I would think that in New York City, especially with some of the leadership that we had. But, I mean, it just made too much sense for all parties involved that this was going to be a good thing. Like, you're going to be able to create new jobs in that area around Citi Field. New businesses. That means tax revenue. I don't understand how anybody loses in this situation.
Well, nobody loses. Here's the thing.
Well, Alex and J-Lo lose.
Well, they lose.
Okay, that's fine, but Alex and J-Lo are going to be fine. Who cares if Alex and J-Lo lose?
Obviously, this would have to benefit Bill de Blasio in Jessica Ramos in some way for you to all of a sudden want to be involved in this. He's already hated. So, I mean, he said that ship has sailed. I'm not sure that's his biggest concern right now, is how much more he'll be hated.
Yeah, but you shouldn't use your station or your office to manipulate this thing for personal gain. This should be about
politics.
No, I'm just saying this should be about doing what's in the best interest of the people, what's in the best interest of the city, and honestly, what's in the best interest of Mets fans, which is Steve Cohen being the new owner and going ahead and allowing this sale to go through.
How often has Bill de Blasio done what's in the best interest of New York City?
I understand that, Rico, but that doesn't mean we can't call him to the carpet for being dead-ass wrong in this situation. He's wrong.
You heard A-Rod on the K-Show, all the promises and everything else. Play that clip.
Well, it's easy to make promises now that you didn't get it, now that you're desperate for it in the 11th hour.
No, I mean, some of the things he said on the K-Show. I mean, the promises. We're gonna take the payroll up. I'm gonna hire Buck Showalter and David Cohn. We're gonna bring back Santa Claus as the mascot. If we don't win a championship, we're gonna donate $100 million.
It's easy to say that. Let's take a listen. Here's Alex yesterday saying all those things on the Michael K. Show here on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know where that stands. I mean, for us, we are hands down now, and we put the pen down. And obviously, I thought what was important in primary markets like New York, L.A., Chicago, unlike secondary and tertiary, we were going to take the Mets payroll to 225 to 250. We were going to dive in heavily into analytics. We were going to have a manager more in the likes of Buck Showalter, pitching coach more in the likes of a David Cohn type, Al Leiter, people that are just baseball savants. Baseball lifers, people that love it and lean into analytics, but at the same time, we were going to play the human game. And so much so, Michael, that we were so confident about our plan that we said, if we don't win a championship with the New York Mets, we will donate $100 million to Queens in the inner city and the kids for youth baseball.
What does that mean if you don't win a championship? In a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 50 years? I mean, why not just donate that money anyway?
If you love New York City as much as you say you do, that stuff you should be doing anyway.
I mean, stop it. If you have the money that you could donate it to New York City, we guarantee we're going to be so good if we don't win, we'll give all this money to New York City? Well, give it anyway, or don't make stupid claims like that.
Yeah, I just think this whole thing is ridiculous.
It's a charade is what it is.
It is, man. Now you want to expand some clause in order to, you know, try to get Steve Cohen caught up and not allow him to be the owner just because the city is involved with the lease at Citi Field.
Well, you're trying to suck more out of Steve Cohen. I mean, I'm having a hard time figuring out what the motivation is.
Maybe to get him to guarantee to build around the area?
Is it more money? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's got the money to do that.
He's not going to lose.
But they wouldn't do that. But they wouldn't do that to A-Rod or J-Lo, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's who the Wilpons ultimately ended up selling to, I have a hard time believing that's the stance that Jessica Ramos would have. Try to extort more money out of Steve Cohen.
No way would she. No way.
No way.
No way. This would be done. This would be done. This is 11th hour Hail Mary. How can we keep this guy out of power? And the question I'll ask is, he was never convicted of anything, guys.
Never, Dave. Never.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, but if you're Jerry Reinsdorf, right, and you're hell-bent on Steve Cohen not buying the New York Mets, I mean, I guess you're going to do whatever it takes, or at least try. I mean, you said it, Hail Mary. And if there's this kind of language in the agreement and someone could actually step in and void the sale, I mean, people in powerful places know powerful people, right? And clearly there's a very, very close relationship between A-Rod and Jerry Reinsdorf.
His mentor and his personal rabbi. Yeah.
So I mean,
okay, that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to own a Major League Baseball team just because the owner of the Chicago White Sox is your mentor and rabbi.
Yeah, but that's how they think, though. I mean, it's the good old boys club.
And that's cool, but most of the good old boys want Steve Cohen to be the owner of the Mets because it benefits them, too, when you look at the sales price that the Mets were able to fetch in the middle of a pandemic. They already said it. Steve Cohen has got the votes lined up from the Major League Baseball owners. He's going to have
tomorrow.
He's going to have at a minimum of 22. He's going to have that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than that. So it doesn't make sense for the city of New York to hold up this deal. It just doesn't.
Unless it makes the city of New York more money. Unless that's part of what they're doing right now.
Well, how is that going to happen, though? How is the city of New York going to make more money from this deal? A-Rod and J-Lo don't have as much money as Steve Cohen.
Right.
So how is the city of New York going to make more money if this sale doesn't go through and the team ultimately reverts back?
They're only using the threat of not letting the sale go through to milk more money out of Steve Cohen. That's what they're trying to do. They're looking for a handout from Steve Cohen because they know how much he wants to buy the Mets team and how much money he has.
Okay, and I'll still come back to that's not the right thing to do. And the city of New York
when was the last time the right thing was done in politics? I mean, you're having a perfect world conversation, and that's not the world we live in right now. Come on, I mean, it's ridiculous, man. Be real about it. That's what's going on here. Doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. Unless there's something financial involved, which there usually is. That's what we're talking about right now. But did anyone think they were going to get $2.4 billion out of Steve Cohen after they turned down the $2.6 in the middle of a pandemic?
No.
Come on. I mean, you don't feel like there's something fishy going on here with this?
Of course there is, and it's a desperation play. And I don't think it's going to work out, and I think at the end of the day, Steve Cohen is still going to be the new owner of the New York Mets, and Mets fans will be happy. But this is what you have to do before you get to the high point of hopefully the guy you want owning this team. And that is the last-minute Hail Mary from A-Rod and his group, and we'll do anything that we can possibly do. It's remarkable.
But it's not really a Hail Mary the way that Rick is describing it, because A-Rod and J-Lo are not going to get the team, no matter how much that Blasio tries to hold up this deal.
Right.
So A-Rod and J-Lo, for all intents and purposes of the Mets moving forward, they're irrelevant. It's not about them. It's about when Steve Cohen can take possession of the team, when this sale from the Wilpons will actually go through, and de Blasio is the gatekeeper because the city has that lease on Citi Field. But here's the thing. I don't know, guys. This is one of those things, man. If you're a public servant, you got to do what's in the best interest of the community. You got to do what's in the best interest of the city. And it's clear that de Blasio is not doing that. Steve Cohen has the resources to develop the areas around Citi Field to be able to create businesses, new jobs, tax revenue, all of those things. So why would you impede that in any way? And by the way, don't we have bigger concerns going on in the city right now?
You would think.
We're trying to manage a pandemic. Don't we need to be concerned with that? All of the small businesses that are going under? All of the restaurants that need bailouts? Shouldn't we be focused on that? You're going to focus on this? I don't know. Something about that stinks. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and that's why we got to call it out, man. And we might know what's going on, and that's all well and good, but it don't make it right.
It feels like they're trying to extort Steve Cohen.
Yes.
Is what it feels like.
And it's not going to work.
The threat is that de Blasio will step in, he'll nullify the sale, and the team will be given to A-Rod and J-Lo.
Why?
Well, because it's the threat of him not being the owner of the Mets.
No, I understand that, but I guess my question is, under what auspices does it make sense? Like, why would he do this? Like the rationale
to try to get more money out of Steve Cohen, or more promises that he will. I mean, that area, like Chris mentioned, like that area needs to be. I mean, the money needs to be put into that area.
But that's a bluff, though, Rico. Because if A-Rod and J-Lo can't pay what Steve Cohen can pay for the team, they're going to pay all of the money, all of the resources that they have into buying it from the Wilpons. Then how much money does that really leave for A-Rod and J-Lo to invest in the surrounding community? So all I'm saying is that whole bluff that de Blasio might be trying to run in order to get more money out of Steve Cohen ultimately backfires if Steve Cohen pulls out of the deal, which would be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of when you bluff. I mean, sometimes the bluff doesn't work. If Steve Cohen calls the bluff, then this will go through and he'll buy the team.
Now, Chris, you're not of the mindset that Cohen is not going to own the team at some point soon, are you?
No, I'm not of that mindset, Dave, but I'm just saying, like, if that's the game that de Blasio is trying to run, it doesn't make sense, and here's why. If Cohen decides to pull out of the deal, you know who the loser is? The loser is all of the owners in Major League Baseball because the sale price all of a sudden changes from 2.4 to whatever A-Rod and J-Lo can afford. But beyond that, knowing that there's not somebody that's worth $14 billion that owns a team – in an area that's prime for redevelopment.
And I guess the
so New Yorkers lose. People in Queens lose.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. But here's the thing, though. The only difference between what we've heard from Steve Cohen, which is the $2.4 billion, and you know he's got Sandy Alderson, how much money he's going to invest in the analytics and the team and everything else. The difference is what you heard from A-Rod, which would be in Jessica Ramos' best interest if they're going to take the $100 million and allocate it to the surrounding area.
Only if they don't win, of course.
On a timeline where we have no idea.
I'm so confident we're going to win. I'll give no time frame at all. I'm so confident we're going to win. If we don't, I'll give $100 million.
It's a bribe. It's not a promise. It's like a bribe.
What kind of nonsense is that?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what aggravates me the most, though, is that you went offer for offer, and at the end of it, the ownership group, the Wilpons and the Cats, decided that you lost.
Correct.
And that they wanted Steve Cohen's offer.
Correct.
So he won. So that's how it's supposed to happen, and there should be enough respect within Major League Baseball and the other owners that this is the offer they chose. Even if Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't like it, you shouldn't be able to dictate who the Wilpons and Cats sell their team to.
Well, at the end of the day, I don't think they'll be able to. But right now they're doing everything that they can to try to make this difficult to go through.
Yeah, I want Bobby Axelrod. That's who I want.
Well, that's who you're going to get.
That's who I want. Enough
of this. Do you think if this guy, worth $14 billion, worth more than the top three owners combined in Major League Baseball?
I think it's the top two. I think you start going top three, it's
no,
it's
I saw top three the other day.
I think Dave is right.
I saw 4-4-4, and he's worth 14. So if this is something that we can all agree he desperately wants to have.
Yes.
That at the end of the day, he's going to not get it.
No,
even
but I think that
comes down to
okay, but
whatever.
That's the point, though. That's why you would try this, is that you're hoping that because he has a certain kind of personality, he will not be denied. That if you pull something like this, that he's willing to now all of a sudden make promises in order for it to go through, make financial commitments to make this thing go through because he wants it so badly. Is he really willing to walk away from this?
I would find that to be very unbelievable.
Because he said he was initially, and then he came back.
Of course he came back. He wants this. He has everything he wants in his entire life. This is
okay,
the
so
one
you're
thing.
If you're selling your house and you agree to an offer with someone who bought your house, you have a palatial estate. So say, you know, you're asking $2.5 million. The guy says, I'll give you asking price. And you're like, you know what? That happened too quickly. You know what? I want a little bit more. And he says, no, I'm walking away. And then all of a sudden he comes back and says, "Now you know what? I'll give you 2-3. The guy clearly, I mean, he's shown you, he clearly wants the house.
Of course he wants the house.
So you're going to try to suck every penny out of him. Steve Cohen clearly wants to own the Mets. And the fact that you didn't disagree that your house is worth $2.5 million says that's it. It's a humongous estate.
My house is worth $2.5 million. What do you want me to start arguing with you?
It's a gorgeous estate with no TV room.
We had a horrendous issue the other night.
What happened?
You're gonna both.
Did Andy? Did Andy get loose?
Andy got loose. It was chaos in the house. So we're lying in bed watching Game 6 of the World Series, and from our bathroom we hear a bang, bang. And Sherry goes, "Oh my God, I'm scared." And I said, "What are you scared about?" We go into the bathroom. The shower tempered glass has exploded all over the place. Exploded.
Come on. How does that happen?
They said, well, we're dealing with like glass places now. They said maybe the house was settling or the shower was lined up incorrectly. But I mean, this is now a big project we have to deal with.
So just glass shattered all over the place.
All over. Oh. All over. Like we
that
have to go
scared,
in.
That must have scared. I mean, you especially. You must have been scared to death.
No, actually, I wasn't. I'm very weird. Like you never know what reaction you're going to get. Sherry was very upset. I'm going to send you a photo. Should I tweet out a photo?
Yeah, I think you should tweet out a photo. I would have been doing, you know me, I would have had the shotgun. I would have been doing front rolls.
Well, listen,
like
what could have possibly, actually,
I have no idea.
We have a big window. We have a big, like a bay window in the bathroom that's covered with the shade. I thought that maybe someone threw a brick through the window.
Why would someone in your
neighborhood
throw
a brick? Well, why would the shower explode?
I would say, of the two things that could possibly happen, I would lean more towards something happening where the shower window explodes as opposed to someone driving by your house and throwing a brick in your window.
But who thinks of these things?
I don't think anyone does.
It was terrifying, really.
But I've seen the neighborhood. There's no way anyone's dreaming of driving around throwing bricks into into bay windows.
Santiago's putting a little note on the call screen. It says, apparently spontaneous explosion of tempered glass is actually a thing that happens.
Speaking of glass, I made a huge, huge mistake at a very young age because I didn't know better. I was only 10 years old.
Are we going to have to hear about the fish tank and you cut your arm story?
Yeah, that you realize that was a under warranty. That's supposed to be a that's supposed to be a certain kind of glass that's not supposed. It's supposed to shatter, not shard up the way it sharded up. Almost cut my arm off.
That's
should have sued that company.
You should have.
And then Jumpy gets away because how good it kind of pet is that? I used to walk him on a leash. Hamster's gone. Chews right through the box. See ya.
Well, of course he wasn't a part of that.
Never saw him again.
If this is the kind of house he's living in, he wants out.
I was cleaning his tank.
So he was probably eating it within like an hour, right?
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
I don't think he made it.
Imagine he's living some like palatial life somewhere now.
He set up shop with a hot squirrel.
Yeah, he's like living with Richie Rich. He's got his feet up on the couch with a cigar. Like, oh, thank God the glass broke. I never would have been here.
Still living in the neighborhood.
Living with Steve Cohen now. Working on the Mets, I tell you. The Mets. I'm going to send out a picture at the break. All right, let's get to the Mets fans. Mets fans want to talk. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Frank in Brentwood, lead us off. Frank, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, man. How are we?
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I don't know. This whole Met thing is strange to me. But here's the thing. This is going to hold. If this drags on, what happens to free agency with the Mets? Their hands are tied. We don't know who the owner is. They can't make moves. This has to be taken care of quickly. This is a debacle that only a de Blasio could do. And wasn't this woman involved in getting Amazon to leave Queens also?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That is correct.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure Cohen did his due diligence, and this is all posturing by de Blasio. But think about it. You know, the Mets have a lot of holes to fill. And how are they going to do it if they're in litigation or we don't know who the owner's going to be? Even if it's tied up for, say, 2 weeks.
I don't know how that... If 2 weeks down the road this is wrapped up, I don't think that affects the free agency as far as the Mets are concerned. Do you really, Frank?
I hope so. Well, listen, why would Trevor Bauer, why would these guys wait if there's offers out there? They don't know if Cohen would be the Met owner.
That's a fair point. That's a fair
point.
There's going
to be a vote. The vote's supposed to happen, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
The vote's supposed to happen tomorrow.
And that's going to pass. And this is going to get done.
Well, yeah, the vote's going to happen. And there's a report out there that says people in Steve Cohen's camp are confident that if this thing ended up in court, that they would certainly win. So you're hoping that it doesn't go that far and that this gets resolved sooner rather than later, because I think that's in the best interest of everybody. But I just don't even understand why, you know, de Blasio is picking this hill to die on, because it just doesn't make any sense. It benefits everybody involved
and
for this to go through.
We're in the middle of a pandemic. The city is a disaster area, and now is the time that he's going to get involved with
this. Well, you know what? What he realizes is that we've never been more divided as a country, and now that he's going to use this opportunity to bring us all together.
By hating him?
To hate one person.
People can't stand him anyway.
No, I know, but now this just brings everybody. Like, if he pulled something like this, now, I mean, this would be a whole different level.
He's going to try. Peter in Jersey City. Peter, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Pete?
I just wanted to say that it's a Yankee town, so it's the big brother trying to keep the redheaded stepchild down.
I don't know about that.
I mean, de Blasio's a Red Sox fan, isn't he?
Which is ridiculous. So the Yankees fans hate him. Now he wants the Mets fans to hate him, too? Come on.
Yeah.
You imagine if somehow, likes the call, Pete, if somehow he was able to succeed with this, the Mets fans would try to run him out of town.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I mean, shouldn't he have already been run out of town?
Yeah, you would think that would have happened by now, Rico. You would.
Need, like, if this is getting close to happening, like, you're gonna need like the Governor Cuomo bat signal. Like, yeah. You know, like Mets fans will shine that up in the sky. You need to step in.
Get in here and save us.
You got to get him out of here.
Ricky in Far Rockaway. Ricky, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Really enjoy your work. I'm a Yankee fan. Okay, but guys like Steve Cohen, the reason they're opposed, much like you guys mentioned Amazon Fulfillment Center, is that they make their money by buying businesses, looting their assets, taking money out that's been for retirement and pensions. They're bad guys, and Cohen paid over $1 billion in fines, or he would have faced a trial. Right, he would have faced a trial and possibly faced prison time. Now, having said that, if Cohen gets in, He's already had talks with Sheldon Adelson, who owns casinos in Macau and Las Vegas. He's in his mid-80s. He's a Trump supporter. The last project he wants to have in his lifetime is to build a huge casino complex, hotels, that type of stuff by Citi Field. And it would be an economic plus for the city, but much like they opposed Amazon, politicians have their own agenda. I'm neutral. I'm a Yankee fan, so that's just wanted to throw that stuff in there. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, build a casino. Don't build a casino. I mean, it has no impact on the Mets fan.
But wasn't Adelson involved in a different
he was involved in a different group that was trying to buy the Mets, wasn't
he?
Or at least there was rumblings that he was.
There was rumblings because he would be the one that all of a sudden with that amount of money would have put that bid over.
Right,
he's
the one guy that could have competed with Steve Cohen, right?
Yeah.
This is going to get done. Far Rockaway, popular today. Ellie and Far Rockaway, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
What's up, Ellie?
Oh, you know, just dealing with the communist de Blasio. Nothing new for us to New York City people. But Steve Cohen is known as a ruthless businessman. Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
Okay, so then
show me the billionaire that's not like that.
Just tell me exactly. Just tell de Blasio, either approve the team or I'm moving it to Long Island, and the city loses all that revenue.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. You have a beautiful brand new stadium. You're not going to pick up and
Why
and
would
leave.
You? Yeah, that doesn't make any
you've
sense.
Been the entire time. I don't think he wants to do that.
Adelson, by the way, was with the Devil's Sixers group.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They kind of bowed out early. I was surprised by that.
Well, they weren't going to touch that. I mean, they were looking for a distressed asset. They weren't going to spend
$2.4 billion. They weren't going to do that.
They weren't going to do that.
No.
Steve Cohen gets what he wants. He's going to wind up with the Mets.
But I think that's the reason why this is happening, though, right now, is because they know that.
Yeah, you think they're trying to milk every last penny out of him.
Okay, so if you know that he's going to get what he wants, why waste any time or any resources if you're the mayor of New York City?
What else is he doing?
In fighting this fight?
You know, he doesn't get up till 10 a.m. Well,
you're saying what else is he doing, and that's a great question, but I know what else he should be doing, which is helping New Yorkers fight the pandemic. Both from a health standpoint and from an economic standpoint. That's what he should be doing.
I think he's looking at this as a way to maybe help the city financially.
Okay, that's fine, Rico. You can help the city financially, but you don't have to help the city by trying to extort a billionaire that has the resources to develop the infrastructure around Citi Field in some of those neighborhoods in Queens that desperately need it.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you.
Why are you trying to bully a billionaire? That usually doesn't work out.
He's going to try.
I'm just saying that usually doesn't
work
out.
He can try all he wants. He can try
the person that's willing to walk away is always going to win.
Steve Cohen's going to win. Steve Cohen, does he lose battles like this?
Typically, billionaires don't lose battles like this, Dave.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. That's
he has very deep pockets. I'm sure he knows everyone. This will get done. And the vote, of course, is tomorrow with the Major League Baseball. Of course this has to happen. Right? Like, of course the Mets are in the 11th hour. It's just about done. But hold on a moment. It's not going to work out as smoothly as you once hoped. Like, Rick, does this surprise you or this is kind of what you expected?
No, it doesn't surprise me. Right? I mean, it should surprise me, but it doesn't.
No.
This surprises me.
Really?
Yeah, because this is not something of the Mets' own doing. Like, this is an outside force. Nobody expected that the city of New York was going to try to hold this thing up. And I don't even want to say the city of New York because I don't want to throw other people under the bus that are in city government. This is Bill de Blasio and Jessica Ramos. And this doesn't feel right.
It feels like they have an agenda.
Well, no question they have an agenda. But, I mean, their agenda is not aligned with what's in the best interest of the community. And that's a problem for me, for people that are elected officials. You're supposed to be public servants. Do the right damn thing by these New Yorkers. I'm tired of the games, man. I'm tired of the nonsense, dude. At some point, it's got to stop. Why would you get involved in this? Why would you engage in trying to hold up this deal when it benefits everybody involved? And also, keeping in mind that we got other issues that are more urgent and need to be addressed.
Right. You have a billionaire buying a baseball team, wipe your hands clean, and move on to things that ultimately really matter.
Here. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, Dave.
We all agree. It's just a waste of time at this point. Mark, Long Island. Mark, you're next up on 98.7.
I just wanted to chime in on this sale holdup. You guys had said A-Rod should have just bowed out after he lost his bid.
Which is what he said when you heard that soundbite from him earlier today on the K Show.
But you're leaving out that his bid was leaked to Steve Cohen. Cohen was not going to bid 2.6 or against himself or his original bet. The Mets in baseball asked A-Rod to unseal his bid, which is not the norm. And then almost immediately after, they told him he was barely outbid by Steve. So I feel like he is not in the wrong kind of doing an end around.
Yeah, but really? A-Rod can't. But here's the thing, though. But here's the thing. A-Rod cannot. A-Rod's group is not capable of offering more money to the Wilpons and the Cats than Steve Cohen. That's why the bid was unsealed. Because they knew Steve Cohen would spend as much money as
whatever
it took.
Whatever that was.
And Steve Cohen didn't have to worry about having 50 partners.
He doesn't have a ceiling. Like, A-Rod's group had a ceiling. So let us know what your ceiling is, so then all of a sudden we can give it to Steve Cohen so we can have a new ceiling.
He shouldn't have unsealed his bid. Like, that's a good point. And I'm not a de Blasio supporter, but what if Cohen has a Madoff-like scandal in 5 years? I mean, don't be a prohibited person.
Why would you assume that he's going to have a Madoff scandal in 5 years?
Because his business is considered, puts him in a category that makes him a potentially prohibited person, which means that your business is basically a felon.
But the owners of the team now had Madoff business dealings. The owners of the team now were involved with Madoff, and they used the profits from their investment accounts with Madoff to buoy their businesses. So what are we talking about?
Don't you think we should do everything in our power to prevent somebody who might have similar issues coming up down the line?
It's already in the lease agreement. It's already in the agreement with Citi Field. That clause is already in the agreement with Citi Field. So if Bill de Blasio is picking this moral high ground to stand on, then why didn't he do something about the Wilpons owning the Mets years ago? Why is it now starting to come up when Steve Cohen wants to get involved and buy the team?
That's a good point. And I'll just say one more thing. As my Yankee fans and myself would say, OTM, only the Mets. Only the Mets.
So you're a bad guy.
This is not the Mets, though. But this is not the Mets.
You're a bad guy. No, he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. No, he called with an agenda.
This is not the Mets. The Mets are not doing this. That's why I feel for the Mets fans, because this is not on their team. This is not something that the Wilpons are doing. This is not something that the Cats family is doing.
No, the Wilpons don't want this. They want to be done. Yeah, get $2.4 billion and hang them up.
This sucks, man. This sucks. I'm a Yankees fan, and I feel a way about this.
Let's think positive, though. It's going to happen. Stop.
No, it is going to happen, Rico, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. We shouldn't be having this conversation right now. Why the hell is the mayor of New York City getting involved in this?
No, because he's not good at what he does. I mean, this just is highlighting it for everyone that doesn't really pay attention to the politics of it all. He's not good at what he does. He's not good.
Yeah, but this is unnecessary.
No, I get it's unnecessary.
Unnecessary to be doing this.
Well, I mean, Chris keeps saying it, and what he says is that you should be looking out for the best interest of the people that you represent. That's how it should work, but unfortunately, that's not the case. De Blasio and Ramos are looking at this more at what's in their best interest than the people that they represent.
Which is sad. Which is a sad state of political affairs now, and we see it happening all over the place.
Yeah. That's the reality of it, though, unfortunately.
Politics, which is why it's so important to go out there and vote this coming Tuesday, if you haven't voted already.
It's never been more of a turnoff than it is right now.
It's a huge turnoff. But hopefully, this is just a bump in the road for Steve Cohen, and he gets approved and he buys the team.
He's going to get approved and he's going to own the team.
Yes.
Because this is awesome. I mean, as a Mets fan, this is with what you see is going on now in Major League Baseball, with options not being picked up
and teams
else,
not going to spend money this offseason. Yeah,
it's a great opportunity.
It's a great.
I love A-Rod's sound, though. We were going to bring in Buck Showalter.
Yeah,
David Cohn. $250 million and give $100 million to New York City.
Yeah,
Now that you're not going to own the team, you can say whatever.
Exactly right. I'm going to hire Santa Claus and Easter Bunny.
We're going to do this and free season tickets and this and that. And, Josh in State College. Josh, you're next up on 98.7.
You get season tickets and you get
season tickets. Yeah, you get season tickets. Oprah's going to own part of it.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're okay, Josh.
So, look, I think this eventually happens. I think this is just the specific clause in the lease. De Blasio doesn't like that it says the individual had to be charged with a crime. not their business, because Cohen personally was never charged. So he and Ramos are pushing to see for future things, how well does this hold up in court? But I think when push comes to shove, he's going to let it go through. But I agree, this is totally unnecessary. As a Mets fan, I'm upset that we're even having this conversation.
Well, don't forget, too, I mean, de Blasio and Ramos, I mean, that's, we start connecting the dots and everything else. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Ramos decided to put her support behind A-Rod and J-Lo. Like, at the end of this, Jessica Ramos and Bill de Blasio don't really care how much money the Wilpons get to sell the Mets.
No,
they don't. It's what do they get out of the deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
right.
If it goes for 2.4, 2.6, or 2.8, or $3 billion, or $5 billion, why does it affect de Blasio?
It doesn't. That benefits the owners of Major League Baseball.
Right.
But it doesn't. I mean, if, you know, the whole $100 million to the area surrounding Citi Field and everything else, that's, I mean, that's in Jessica Ramos' best interest, is to get that $100 million.
But who's to say she won't get it if Stephen Cohen takes over the team?
That's what she's, but again, that's what she's hoping happens here. Is, oh, A-Rod's going to give you 100? No, no problem. Just to, you know, let's let this go through. Here's 150 million.
Right. The only thing that I guess potentially scares you is that at some point he's like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't think that happens.
I don't think they think that happens either. Like, he's already shown you that he wants this.
He does. He wants, and he gets what he wants. So I don't think that happens. But God forbid he wakes up tomorrow morning. He's like, you know what? I don't need this.
And he wants it, though.
I know he wants it.
And yeah, but if that if Steve Cohen does wake up and feel that way about this headache that de Blasio and Ramos are creating for him, it's the political funeral for both of those individuals. No question about it.
Yeah, I think we already...
De Blasio already, but Ramos as well.
I think that ship has sailed with de Blasio.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Lou in Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Hey, DCR. Thanks for taking the call. Guys, man, remember when I called you guys and I said that if we got Steve Cohen, it would be the equivalent of a championship? Well, the worst politician in the history of New York politics is trying to ruin that. I don't know why it feels like any time the Mets are supposed to get ahead in the city comes down and crashes down on the Mets. The only time they could have taken action to benefit the Mets, they go against the Mets. This is a deal that needs to happen for the city.
And it needs to happen for the Mets fan is what it needs to happen.
Well, why does it need to happen for the city? Look, it's going to happen, Lou. I think most of us agree with that, and I think it needs to happen for the Mets and the Mets fan. But why does it need to happen for the city?
Well, first of all, if the Mets are more competitive, that benefits everybody. There's more interest. There's more money being spent in and around Citi Field. Like, that benefits the city. That creates jobs. That's why all of these sports franchises get all of these tax breaks. That's why they do it. That's why local municipalities invest in the infrastructure in building these stadiums. Because ultimately, the revenue that's generated by these teams ends up being beneficial.
And why isn't it that the city is looking at what Steve Cohen has already said, what he's going to do for the Mets and Citi Field employees that weren't working during this pandemic, giving them money, giving them payouts, helping out people financially, that were associated with the team, working with the team? Why isn't that getting any press either?
Well, because that just benefits the people that work at Citi Field and the New York Mets.
But it's a good
That's
story.
Not a promise of $100 million to support the area surrounding Citi Field.
When would the Wilpons give that money to the people that were working there?
They would not.
Packages? They would not. So we got a good guy that wants to pay out, use his wealth to help the good people of New York, and they're going to shut this down. I think it's all because of de Blasio and his politics and because of his clout, honestly. And this is heartbreaking as a Mets fan if this deal doesn't get through. It's heartbreaking.
It would be, but I don't think that happens.
It's going to get through. Let's be positive here. Come on.
And one last thought before you guys hang up. How is Mookie Betts for my fantasy team?
What does that mean? I mean, he's great.
Remember when I called about Acuña and Mookie Betts, and we were having that conversation? That was a great year.
He's great. Lou, they're both unbelievable players. They're two of the top five players in all of baseball. How is Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts is great. Acuña is great. Trout is great. These guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. I mean, you pick which one you want. I mean, you're talking about the best players in baseball. I mean,
Dodgers favorite to win the World Series next year already, by the way.
That is, I will say this, though, with the NBA bubble, the NHL bubble in Major League Baseball, the whole concern, like, oh, this is going to be crazy seasons, is, you know, is a team that doesn't deserve to win going to win? No, it didn't happen. The best basketball team won, the best hockey team won, and the best baseball team won.
Hey, can we stop with the notion now that these are not legitimate titles? Have you heard that, those rumblings?
No.
I choose not to pay attention to those. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
These are not legitimate titles. I mean, these are, you know, lesser seasons and in a bubble and no travel. And shut up. Really?
Lesser seasons.
It's difficult for everybody
can
involved.
Can you imagine? I mean, the NBA players were in Orlando for 3 months.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing that.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You go on vacation. I don't care how nice the hotel is. You go stay at a five-star resort. I mean, a week into that thing, you're like,
after a week, you're like, boy, I'd like to get home, right?
Time to get home.
My own bed.
Exactly. Time to get home.
I don't know about that, Rico.
I start to get anxiety.
The place you recommended in Positano, I don't know about that.
But well, there is
a difference. I could probably
there
post
is an
up,
end to
I could
when
probably
you want to be on
vacation. Nah, I could probably post up out there.
Well, no, but that's different. That's like once you stay there, that's like you're gonna sell where you live now. You're gonna sell that place and then move here.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be a vacation.
I don't speak a lick of Italian, but I'd absolutely move
residence.
Out there.
Yeah, that's gonna be a residence. That's like my one guy who I met there. He was from Jersey. Him and his wife every single year.
No, I met him. I met him.
Yeah, every single year for a whole month.
For decades, yeah.
Yeah, and did he dance at dinner? Did him and his wife dance?
No, because we went out for dinner. You know, we went to Shea Black, and then we went to Amalfi. We were like going out. We didn't stay at the hotel for dinner.
Look at you guys.
Yeah.
Look at you just enjoying the night.
You gave, me the,
you
gave me the itinerary. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you did set it up for me.
I would move there in a second. I'm telling you, I would move there in a second.
Move there full time, leave
yes,
this
yes,
country.
Yes,
to move
yes.
There.
In a second. In a second. In a second.
Wow.
Oh, it's gorgeous, man.
Your palatial estate.
Right on the cliff.
Three little ones over there?
I don't even want a palatial. I don't want a house. Give me a big hotel room. I'm happy.
By the way, met Kurt Gowdy over there for the first time.
Oh, did you really?
Randomly, yeah. At the pool over at Capri, yeah.
And then you had the Kardashians swing by, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Travis Scott and all of that.
Look at Canty. Was that big? Was that big? Canty, was that big giant like stealth?
That yacht. Yacht. Yes.
How sick was that thing?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, bro.
Dude, the person
unbelievable.
Actually, the guy at the pool told me. I was like, "Whose yacht is that?" He's like, "No, that person actually like lives on the top of the cliff, and then like just will go to the boat and hang out on the boat."
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's not even a boat. It's like a hotel.
Yeah.
Sick.
And then they did a fireworks show that at night from the yacht.
Dave, you got to go. You should take Sherry. Dave.
Yeah,
I'll
this
set up
is
your
what
itinerary.
I can afford to do. I got to.
No, you can
shower.
Afford it. It's not crazy. You got the money. I've been to your parents' house.
Yeah,
loaded.
Yeah, loaded.
Loaded. We'll double date. You take Sherry. I'll take your mom. Maybe a little nice little double date.
And where we do with the kids?
Your kids are self sufficient. You have no one to
They're
watch.
Self-sufficient.
The kids.
They're 13 and 10.
You have no one to watch the kids. Come on.
No one.
Stop.
No.
Stop
one.
Yourself.
No, we have no one to watch. If in our wills, if we die, the kids go to people we don't even really care for that much. We have no one to watch the kids.
I'll take the kids.
You would.
Get your will changed. I'll take the kids.
You had him
Milo
five kids.
Milo would love it.
He would love it.
It.
He would
Dude,
be
I got,
so happy.
I sent Santi sound, so we'll play it at some point. Remind me to play it. I got a text message yesterday after the show, and it was from my cousin Susan, who lives in Boston, and she's like, "Your son is out of his mind. I absolutely love him." I said, "What are you talking about?" So she sends me the clip. Apparently yesterday, without us even knowing, he wakes up, goes straight downstairs, and starts recording messages on his iPad and then firing them off to everyone, like to my niece, to my cousin Susan, to my
like
mother.
Like personal messages?
No, it's like just one old, like,
or
it's
like
just
one big generic message that now
one,
gets sent
one
out
big
to
generic message. I was like, "What are you doing, man?" And he goes, "I just taking care of my fans. I gotta send them the message."
Wait, he said, "I'm taking care of my fans."
He calls them his fans.
Oh, yeah. That's terrific. That's very funny. The Michael Kay Show's 20 in 20 contest starts today at 3:00. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. It's the 20 in 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard and Son, Kansas City Steak, Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and of course, 98.7 ESPN. So that's today starting 3:00. And you're locked in. You don't even need a special contest, Rick. No one listens to the K Show more than you.
No, I love that show. Love it.
No one listens more than
Not
you.
No, I mean, it fits perfectly into my schedule. You know how, I mean, kids doing homeschooling, you know, rocking
dinner in the 5 o'clock hour.
Exactly. Dinner in the 5 o'clock hour. getting ready for dessert around ENN.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so some flan with ENN is the way it rolls at the DiPietro home?
Yeah, depending on what we want. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe some froyo.
Yeah, cannoli.
Kids made some cookies. We made some cookies with the kids, some gingerbread nice. Cookies. Doing a lot of baking these days.
Well, everyone has time.
Yeah, tons of time.
Everyone
My wife
has
just
time.
Loves it, too. Between the baking and fixing things.
Nice. You're a Renaissance guy. Can you fix a shower? Tempered glass in a shower.
The glass, no. You know, you've seen my arm. Me and glass aren't.
Not simpatico. No.
I don't mess with the glass. No.
Yeah, I saw that at MetLife Stadium.
You walked into the door.
Rick did not see the door.
Yeah,
that was full speed too. There was
You're
no
lucky
hesitation.
You didn't shatter that thing.
I'm lucky I didn't knock myself unconscious.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised he wasn't concussed.
That's unbelievable. All right, let's bring him in. Mr. Optimism, great mood always, Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I categorically deny any wrongdoing with respect to the Rothenberg shower glass. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's up for debate.
Yeah.
That being said, last Thursday we took a trip to Columbus, Ohio for those Ohio State Buckeyes. In the interest of equal time, we have to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan today. Four questions about the maize and blue, your Michigan Wolverines. You ready, boys?
Go ahead.
This current NFL backup quarterback is the Wolverines' career pass yards leader. Name him.
Chad Henne, isn't it?
Chad Henne it is. Wow.
Look at you, Dave. That a boy.
This former number 3 overall draft pick is Michigan's career and single-season reception leader. Name this New York-flavored receiver.
New York-flavored receiver. So, is it Braylon Edwards?
Braylon
Edwards, 2 for 2. All right, Michigan's had 3 Heisman Trophy winners in the history of their organization. Name those 3 Heisman winners.
Desmond?
Yep.
That's 1.
You got Woodson.
2.
Tom Harmon?
Mark Harmon's father.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And finally, the University of Michigan has retired a number of uniform numbers over the years. Number 48 was specific to a center/linebacker, a 2-time national champion.
Gerald Ford.
And president of the United States. Wow. Couldn't even finish the question.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
We did well today, boys.
Really good, Dave.
You did well. Yeah, you did fantastic.
You did outstanding, Dave.
That's what we do. It's a team effort.
Let me say this, Dave.
Yeah.
When you're talking president and talking Gerald Ford playing football, we need a president with his hand in the ground. That's why Chris Canty is my vote for the 2024 election. Canty for president, baby. All
Thank
right,
you,
fellas,
Andy.
Let's be careful out there, and as always, stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy.
It would be nice if we had. It would be nice if we had people, you know, that run for the presidency that actually
younger. Care about people.
Well, they care about people younger, more spry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that would be that'd be a pleasant surprise.
Run on the spry demographic.
I want the spry demographic, but I mean, there's someone that's I don't know.
That's not old.
Somebody that doesn't have an AARP
really
card.
Yeah, that's not really old.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Canty, I was watching Super Bowl 46 last night.
Yeah, yeah, they had the replay on ESPN2 last night.
The best part of it, like the highlight show portion of it.
Yeah,
like 30 minutes packed it. Oh, great! Mm-hmm. You know what's great? There's a couple things. Maybe you remember him saying this as the Giants. Was it the Giants got the ball? Maybe it was as New England got the ball at the end. Victor Cruz running up and down the sideline saying, I can't sit still. I can't sit still, which I thought was funny. And I thought it was great. When Belichick at the end of the game on the final drive when the Giants started their own 12-yard line, he goes, Cruz and Knicks cannot beat us.
Yep.
Cruz and Knicks cannot beat us.
And it was Manningham.
Make Manningham or Pasco beat us. Make Manningham or Pasco beat us. And we know what happened.
Yep.
And they did.
That's exactly what happened. Yep.
That's terrific.
Because we were down to Bear Pasco because Beckham and Ballard were hurt. They actually got hurt in that game.
Right. Travis Beckham, yes.
Yeah.
And then Jake Ballard. Remember Jake Ballard? He like tore his
Jake
knee.
Jake Ballard was unbelievable. Unbelievable
that
year.
And he
could go
back into the game, and he tested on the sideline, and he crumbled over.
Yeah. Yeah, he was unbelievable that season, though, man.
Yeah, he was really good that season.
He caught the game winner up in New England in the regular season.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
We know exactly what happened to the glass in the shower.
What happened to the glass in the shower?
it's starting to come together, Rico.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Dave watching a giant Super Bowl. Now we know what happened.
Yeah, I ran headfirst into the glass in the
shower. No, that's not. Well, yeah, a matter of speaking.
Matter of speaking. Shots fired.
I have a damaged home, and this is the thanks I get from friends. This is what my friends
do. You're a damaged human being. I mean, it only makes sense.
I didn't do anything. I did nothing wrong. Only I get blamed for stuff that I had nothing to do with.
Debatable.
I did nothing wrong.
I'm going to get forensics up.
Merely watching Game 6 of the World Series. Boom!
Yeah, I don't believe it. I'm going to get forensics up there.
Okay.
Do some fingerprinting, some DNA. I'm sure there'll be plenty of DNA floating around. We'll get some DNA testing.
Really, thank God no one was in the shower.
Get to the bottom of this.
Wow. Dave, this is when you're supposed to keep it pushing and not.
Keep it pushing.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're going silent.
This is, like,
I'm at a loss because you have brought me to an area where I'm just, it's uncharted.
But Dave, we've already developed a game plan for when he goes there. You just keep the show moving right along, man.
You know what? It's like, don't let Knicks catch the ball. Make Manningham catch it. Manningham caught it. I don't know what to do. I'm completely out of my element at this very moment. All right, baseball's done. Game 6 the other night, obviously we had a lot of questions about what Kevin Cash and the Rays nerds and front office guys were doing in that Game 6, but the season is now over. And the story that, and this is very 2020, that lingers on is what happened with Justin Turner. Did you, Rick and Chris, see the statement that Major League Baseball put out about Justin Turner?
I did not.
You did not. No. All right, it's not that long. Let me read a little bit of it. This is Major League Baseball. Immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to the removal of Justin Turner from last night's game. This came out yesterday. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. And then it just goes on to say the commissioner's office is going to start a full investigation, blah, 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 parameters, 2020 operations manual. And it turns out, I guess, no Dodgers tested positive from the test that resulted from this. But the line that I have a real problem with, and I'll address Rick first, and then Chris, you can go on this, is he emphatically refused to comply. And I know we discussed it yesterday, but he's going to get a severe punishment, I think, for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But in that situation, I mean, here's the one thing that bothers me about it. I mean, was what he did selfish? It absolutely was selfish. And he should have had a mask on or, you know, taken the proper precautions. What aggravates me is that the entire time, and we saw this, no positive tests in the NBA, no positive tests in the NHL, you as a player are trusting that Major League Baseball is going to do whatever it takes to keep you safe, correct?
You would hope so.
Okay, that's the opposite of what they did. How do you let a guy who's positive for COVID go into the ballpark, spend the entire day in the ballpark, play 7 innings, and then realize that he's positive? Why is he at the ballpark?
Well, was he why do you have a when he went to the ballpark, or was it inconclusive when he showed up at the ballpark?
They didn't get the inconclusive till the second inning. Why do you have a protocol that allows the players into the actual clubhouse where you know they're not walking around with masks on anyway and spending hours and hours together if you don't know whether or not he's positive or negative? You're just assuming that he's negative because they're in a bubble. So how much more exposure did the team have with him celebrating on the field after they just spent the entire day with him?
Yeah, that's on Major League Baseball. It's ridiculous to not have your test turned around quicker and to not have the results, whereas if you do have a positive or an inconclusive test, you can keep that person away from the rest of the team until you can clear it up. Like, that's the part of it that doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense, and they jeopardize Game 7. How do you play Game 7?
Of course, but you can't, Rick. You can't play Game 7.
So that's it? So what happens if the Rays had come back and won that game? We just call it a joint champions and don't ever play a Game 7? Or 2 weeks down the road, play a Game 7?
No, I just think you take the necessary time in order to make sure you screen everybody and the tests come back negative, whether you got to have two you know, negative tests consecutively or three negative tests consecutively, whatever you got to do in terms of whatever the protocols say that they're supposed to do in terms of getting a player or personnel cleared in order to return back to sport, that's what you do. But, I mean, the fact is that baseball, once they decided that they needed to pull Justin Turner from Game 6, Justin Turner should no longer have been in the building.
Yes.
He should have been gone. He shouldn't even have the opportunity to come back onto the field and join his teammates and celebrate that championship. So you can say that Justin Turner told baseball staffers no, he wasn't going to leave the field, but he shouldn't even been had. He shouldn't have had the choice. He should have been removed from Globe Life Stadium. He shouldn't be there.
The reality is they didn't have a protocol, Dave. I mean, they can say what they want. They didn't have a protocol for someone testing positive during the game.
I'm shocked that that happened, and I'm shocked that they allowed it to happen the way they did moving forward. I mean, to have him, it's a slap in the face to everything that they've said the entire time. To have this guy out on the field, taking his mask off, next to the manager who's had cancer in the last couple of years, I can't get over it. I can't wrap my arms around it.
You know,
the
part that's crazy to me, though, is baseball acting like they care. I feel like this is fake outrage in so many ways. Because Rick talked about it yesterday on our show. They don't really care about keeping the players as safe as they possibly could. We saw that from the outset of the season, like Juan Soto with the Washington Nationals. Like, this is not about keeping the players safe. This is more about saving face and doing whatever it takes to get these games in so the owners can make sure that they don't lose a lot of money this year. That's what it felt like. So why are we acting like we're upset now that the season is over with?
And here's the other thing, too. The only reason why, Dave, you would have a procedure in place where you didn't get the results of the tests before everyone went to the ballpark was because you didn't want to be put in a situation where you had to take one of the players out of the lineup headed into an important game.
Right.
Like, you're going to take a key player out because he tested positive for COVID before he was and then he can't play. Let's just hope no one tests positive enough to deal with this. And when you did have to deal with it, there was no real protocol. You just go hang in the clubhouse and self-isolate yourself. Come on, man.
Right. I mean, you're right, Chris. You should have gotten him out of the stadium so that if and when you won the World Series later that night, it wasn't dangled in front of him that he wanted to be with his teammates. He shouldn't have been there.
That's why I have a hard time demonizing Justin Turner, Dave, like everybody else is. Like, I can't do that. Like, was Justin Turner wrong? Yeah, he was wrong. He should have had his mask on the entire time. But he's not wrong for wanting to celebrate a championship.
No, but it is selfish. You have to understand why people look at it as a selfish act.
I'm not saying that it's not selfish. What I am saying is that Justin Turner should not have been afforded the opportunity to get back on the field. Get him off the field.
It's like when a guy has a concussion. You take his helmet away from him. You won't give him the option to go play. You tested positive. We have to take you out here.
If you can get
NFL players off the field when they get ejected, you can get Justin Turner off the baseball team.
I agree with you, but my point is if you have a concussion, you go back on the field, the potential is that you're going to hurt you, not that other guys are going to get the concussion. I mean, by you going back there and walking around and prancing and smiling with no mask, let me ask you, it's bad.
It's bad, and it's a terrible look. I mean, I feel like this is more about how bad a look it is than, you know, Major League Baseball really being that overly concerned that he was going to spread it to everyone else on the field since the season was already over. But if you're one of the guys in the Dodgers, right? And, you know, Brandon McCarthy tweeted about this. He said the rest of the team wouldn't allow him to, they would have went and found him and brought him out to celebrate. Now, does that mean with the mask or whatever? But, I mean, if I'm one of his teammates, and again, you just told me that he's positive and I just spent the entire day with him. Like, at that point.
In your mind, you're probably like, man, I probably got it too.
Right. I probably got it too.
And then beyond that, Justin Turner is going to be a free agent. So, like, who knows whether or not this is the last time he's in a Dodger uniform. The fact that, he gets to celebrate this championship after having so many heartbreaks and getting to the CS and getting to the World Series and not being able to win it. Like, come on, man. I understand people saying that he's being selfish, man, but you're talking about a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I can't kill a guy for wanting to celebrate with his teammates for that.
But he just played a really selfish move.
He just played 7 innings and spent the entire day with no mask around his teammates.
But that's before they knew he was positive.
The fact that there was that much lag time and that he was allowed to play in Game 6, that just speaks to Major League Baseball not handling this properly.
But there can be two issues here. We can agree that Major League Baseball messed it up and Turner was selfish in his actions after learning that he was tested positive.
Yeah, but Major League Baseball shouldn't allow Justin Turner to get back out there on the field. the moment that you pulled him from that game, Justin Turner needs to be away from everybody. Why the hell is he still at Globe Life Park? Explain that one to me, Dave. Why is he still there?
I agree with you, but he was. He was.
He shouldn't have been. So that's a failing. That's a failing by Major League.
Do not go out there. And he said, to hell with you, I don't care.
But, Dave, that's a failing by Major League Baseball, that the fact that he was still at the park.
It's the whole reason. It's the whole reason.
You're supposed to quarantine in your hotel room. You don't travel with the team. You have to stay behind for days at a time until you can be cleared to travel. That's what they've been doing with all these other players that have tested positive throughout the course of this truncated season. Why would it be any different with Justin Turner in this situation?
And it's the whole reason why he had to put these down. It's the whole reason why you went to a bubble format in the first place, because he didn't trust the players. You wanted to make sure they were all in the same spot going back and forth from the stadium to the hotel. How did it get into the hotel?
I mean, we'll never know.
No, I know we'll never know.
We'll never know.
But I think
there's two different issues here. I think there's the fact that they should have taken him away and not even left him at the stadium. And there's the fact that MLB security told him, you cannot go on to the field. And he said, too bad. I'm going. I don't care.
In that moment, what would you have said if you're Justin Turner?
Boy, I'd like to think that I would
say stop. I would like to think I wouldn't
take PED. Stop.
So you wipe down.
You couldn't help but get naked. You couldn't help do that to your teammates. You couldn't help but get naked when the team you didn't even play for won a Super Bowl. You're telling me if you played for the team and you won a World Series that you would have stayed in the stop, please.
No, you wouldn't have.
If I had a disease that could wind up killing others, and my manager was recovering from cancer, yeah, I would.
Just spent the whole day around them with it.
Before you knew you had it.
It doesn't matter. It's all of a sudden like you just all of a sudden
it's
caught
different.
It.
If you don't know, you don't know. But once you know, the right thing to do is remove yourself.
I think you're giving him way too much credit for
being an adult. I would think that he might be able to be an adult.
Well, because in that moment when you win a championship,
a championship, that then if you have a deadly disease that you've contracted, then all bets are off. Championship trumps having COVID.
But what you just said is part of the problem, though, Dave. That's been one of the biggest issues in this country, is that not everyone feels like it's a deadly disease.
If it's that deadly, Dave, then why is Major League Baseball even risking it with letting guys go out there without knowing the results from the test? If the gravity of COVID is being taken so seriously by Major League Baseball, why the hell would you risk those guys going out to play the game before you got the results of the test? You don't have an answer for that. There is no rebuttal for that.
Though.
It's wrong. It's a failing by Major League Baseball.
Yes.
No matter how you look at it.
So to sit here and
harp on what Justin Turner did or didn't do or what he should or shouldn't have done, what I'm saying is Justin Turner shouldn't have been given a damn choice.
But he was there.
And he shouldn't have been, Dave. The reason why he was there was because of Major League Baseball failing to be able to have protocols that make sense in terms of common sense practices in order to control the virus.
But why can't there be two wrongs here? Why can't Major League Baseball have been wrong and Justin Turner have been wrong?
Because I think you're being unrealistic when you start talking about the natural reaction that a player is going to have about winning a championship. If you've ever felt what it's like to win a championship, you know everything that goes into winning a championship. There's no way in hell that after you just played seven innings in the game-sealing win of that series, there's no way that you wouldn't go back out on the field and celebrate with your teammates. There's no way.
With a mask, you couldn't do it?
Dave, he had a mask on for part of the time, and he ripped it off in the team picture. I said he was wrong for taking the mask off. I'm saying that, but I also recognize that it should not have been left up to Justin Turner.
Which I agree with. But I think that being that it was left up to him at the end of the night, he should have had the respect for his teammates and left and not been there. And if they want to celebrate when they're back in the hotel, then that's their choice. But it's awful to do it on the field right after the game.
Yeah, but who's to say if he's sitting there isolated in the clubhouse, one of his teammates doesn't go grab him and bring him out? And what does he say, no to that? No, you guys.
Come on,
guys,
exactly. That's exactly. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been there, man. He shouldn't have been there. That's on Major League Baseball.
Yeah, this is so lethal. We're so concerned about it that we're going to sternly suggest that you stay inside the clubhouse. While your team is celebrating, it's a request. Please, Justin.
Exactly.
Stay right here.
All right. Exactly. So have no respect for anybody and go out there and spread the virus as best you can.
What is Major League Baseball not having any respect for, Dave? They can't have it both ways under these circumstances. They
but
just
I
can't.
Agree with that. Like, you're arguing a point that I agree okay, with. You shouldn't okay. have been there. So, they should so have taken out, saying, but they didn't.
But, Dave, it's causality. It's like, okay, if they don't do this,
so if they messed
then Justin
up.
Turner doesn't have the opportunity to do what he did. It doesn't happen. What I'm saying is, if Major League Baseball did what they were supposed to do, this doesn't happen. And they had two opportunities. One, to make sure that they had the results before the damn game is even played. Two, when you remove him from the game, remove him from the ballpark. He has no business being there. The only thing that could happen with him hanging around Globe Life Park is that he could potentially infect somebody.
Yeah, they didn't handle it well. They should have gotten him out of there.
Yeah, so to be talking about Major League Baseball trying to discipline him after the fact, that's just ridiculous to me because
no,
it's their own failure.
He deserves to be disciplined. Of course he does.
No, he doesn't.
And he's going to be. And he deserves to be.
Is he going to be?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Is he going to be?
Absolutely.
I mean, according to Buster Olney, I'm not sure that the Players Association and Major League Baseball agreed on a discipline or a fine schedule for guys that violate COVID protocols. So well, is he going
be.
To be disciplined?
He should be. Let's take a listen. Here's Buster on SportsCenter last night on if Turner's going to be punished or not.
He could be facing suspension. Look, Major League Baseball has questions about after Justin was told to isolate where he went. Who he talked to, were there Dodgers officials, Dodgers personnel that facilitated his return to the field? They want to get the answers to that. And look, we don't have a precedent for suspension under the health and safety protocol that was adopted by Major League Baseball and the Players Association, but there was an understanding between the two sides that discipline could be rendered for players or team personnel who ignored the protocol.
Yeah, I think he's going to get suspended. And if this was such a huge moment that he had to go out and do it, I don't think he'd mind the suspension if it comes to that.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to care. No, I'm not saying that. I don't think Justin Turner is going to care if he gets suspended for celebrating a championship. But I'm looking at Major League Baseball with the side eye right now because they're the ones that opened the door for this to happen. And then you're going to turn around and blame this guy.
Listen to what Buster just said.
Why can't there be more than one person or action to blame?
Yeah, but you're talking
about
the entity that's going to suspend him is the entity that's culpable in allowing it to happen. That's my point.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He still has to police himself.
No, I get it, but why is he going to take it more seriously than the Major League Baseball is going to take it?
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
He just spent the entire day positive around his teammates. And now in the biggest moment, you want him to take it upon himself to self-isolate?
Well,
the best is they didn't even know where he was.
You can't go out there.
It's not exactly his own decision.
They said, don't go out there. And he said, I don't care what you say. I'm going out there.
They're pretending like they actually had a procedure or a protocol in place. They had no idea where he went. They didn't know where he was. We're going to pull you and then, hey, just go find a place to isolate. Is there a certain place? No, just wherever you like.
It was
just
wherever,
poorly
you, wherever
all around.
You want to go.
Wherever you want. Just go isolate someplace.
It was handled poorly all around, but to say that he's not culpable of a misstep, I think is wrong.
Dave, I never said that he wasn't wrong. I never said that he wasn't wrong. What I'm saying is the overwhelming majority of the people, if they're in that same situation, are going to make the same decision to go out and celebrate a championship with their teammates. You're talking about the series-winning game in which you played seven innings and they pulled you for protocols because you had an inconclusive test or a positive test. You mean to tell me that after the series is over, your team won a championship? After years of trying to break through, you're not going to go out there and celebrate? Stop.
I don't think it's as overwhelming as you think.
Okay.
Now, I'm getting texts from people. Buddy of mine says he could not agree with you more. Says both of you guys are 100% right. And then a couple people saying that.
Well, what's more likely? What's more likely though? And this is what's more likely in your mind that if you're Justin Turner, you're thinking I'm going outside onto the field. I have my mask on for a minute. I'm going to take it off for the team pitcher.
Right.
I've already done that for seven innings. Am I more likely to spread COVID now, where we've seen in football apparently like being outdoors and properly distanced is. I mean, it's not going team to team.
Exactly.
Or was I more likely to spread it to the entire team while I was hanging out in the clubhouse for the last 6 hours with no mask on, chatting away, trying to figure out what was going to happen in this game six?
Do you think he's giving it that level of thought, or do you think he's just saying, I'm going out there,
I think that's
I don't care.
I think that's in your mind how you would justify going out to celebrate. I just spent the entire day around these guys, and nothing's changed. I had it then, and I have it now. And if they were that serious about it, would they still allow me to be in the ballpark, or would they have taken me out of the ballpark?
Baseball dropped the ball. And to go out there and to take your mask
from the beginning, they dropped the ball. Though, how do you look me?
It bothers me.
How do you look me in the face and tell me we're looking out 100% for your safety, and then all of a sudden to have a testing procedure that doesn't give me my result until I've already been at the ballpark the entire day? How does that make any sense?
It makes no sense.
Where normal people can get their results the next day.
But the very next day. I think you guys are missing my point. My point is that, yes, Major League Baseball is wrong, and Justin Turner is also wrong. There are two sides that are both wrong, in my mind, in this story. And at a minimum, go out there and have the respect to keep your mask on and to, I can't even say distance because I think that's unrealistic, but at least keep your mask on.
But, Dave, and you're saying that two sides are wrong, and I'm agreeing with that. But if Major League Baseball does what they're supposed to do, then Justin Turner doesn't have an opportunity to infect his teammates either before the game while he's hanging out in the clubhouse, during the game, or in the post-game celebration. At no point does Justin Turner jeopardize the health and welfare of his teammates and his manager if Major League Baseball does their job. That's the part that I keep harping on.
But they also told him, don't go out there. Yeah, they did tell him that.
Yeah, but again, just a stern talking to is going to get the job done. I mean, in that moment, you can sit here and say, like, Justin Turner should be the adult. That's not the mindset in that moment. You're not having rational thought in that moment. Like, do yourself a favor. Google some of the Tampa Bay Lightning celebration, and you tell me if they had the right thought process celebrating that championship, having people shotgun beers that they don't even know out of the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
Is that, that ain't great either.
I think it's a bad look all around.
Awful look. It is an awful look. And luckily so far there's only been negative tests. Because you're talking about a super spreader event caught live on national television, if that's what happened. My only problem with the entire thing is, and again, I agree with you, both are to blame, but the fact that Major League Baseball's protocols, or lack of protocols, had him actually at the stadium playing in that game until the seventh inning before they knew is the biggest problem for me.
It's awful. I'm not denying the fact
because if it was going to get spread,
screwed this up.
Because if it was going to get spread, it was going to happen while they were sitting around in the clubhouse, not while he was walking around on the field. Because we've seen that in baseball and in football. For some reason, it's not spreading team to team when they're all playing. It's happening it's spreading through a team while they're at the facility.
But he didn't know. That's the thing. Why would you be concerned and do all these things if you don't think you have it? Once you know you have it, you have to adjust accordingly.
You wouldn't, but then also you need to realize what he's thinking too is I've been around the team the entire time. Is it going to make it that much worse if I go out and celebrate this championship? Or has the damage already been done?
Maybe it's been done. But at least have the respect of your teammates to wear a mask.
But at a minimum, do that. What's been the biggest problem with this pandemic in this country? What's been the biggest problem?
I would say that half the people take it seriously and half the people don't care.
Exactly the point. You don't know. I mean, do you know how Justin Turner feels about
this
or how his teammates feel about it?
No idea.
Okay. So, I mean, I know how you feel about it. I know how, you know, living with my wife and having a newborn baby, how I feel about it. That doesn't mean everyone feels the same way.
To win a championship and not have an opportunity in that moment to celebrate with my teammates, I couldn't imagine doing that. Call me a bad guy, call me whatever you want. I couldn't imagine not doing that.
Yeah, that's one of those situations where you like.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Like the rest of
my
life.
You're going to do the right thing?
Would you have worn a mask?
I would have worn a mask.
Would you have kept that on at least?
I would have worn my mask. I would have had gloves on, but I would damn sure going to be out there celebrating with my teammates. There's no way I would not have been out there. So I couldn't imagine going the rest of my life knowing that I won a championship and I didn't celebrate it right after we won. I couldn't imagine that. I could not imagine that.
That's a hot button topic. Getting a lot of responses. Interesting stuff. I think it's a good conversation. Now, Rick, you're a loyal listener to the K Show, regardless of contest or no contest.
Yeah, you know how much I love Michael. I support anything he does. I support the Vesti War yesterday.
And it makes a lot of people uncomfortable with the love affair you have with Michael. But this goes even beyond that. People that just like him, don't love him like you, are going to fall in love with what's happening on the show. The Michael Kay Show's 20 and 20 contest starts today at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. I was just informed of a couple of the prizes. Would you like to hear what these prizes are starting today?
I would love to hear it.
Both of you guys, knowing you the way I do, will love the first prize that I was told. Cash. Cash.
Yeah, there's not much thought or effort into the cash. I enjoy.
You don't love the cash?
I've learned during the pandemic that I don't put as much emphasis on it.
Chris, cash?
Yes. How much?
Yes.
Canty loves the money. Loves.
Yeah, well, because who doesn't love cash? So cash. All right, let's see if I can whet your appetite with a Weber smoker.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
A full Kansas City steak package.
Ooh, steak package. Do like the meat.
Or, and I could use this. I don't think I'm eligible to win, though. A big screen TV from Samsung.
Yeah, see, I don't understand. Like, this isn't one of those. This isn't like back when plasmas were first, you know, brought to market when it was like 15 grand for a plasma. Like, you could just go out and buy yourself a gorgeous new TV.
Or you could get a free one by listening to the K Show today at 3 o'clock.
Exactly right.
A Frigidaire wine fridge? I mean, what better for you than a Frigidaire wine fridge?
You realize I have not had an adult beverage since this pandemic started?
Really?
Not one. Not a sip.
I find that shocking.
I swear to God.
Because I think most people are out there getting lit every night, and you're going the opposite and not drinking at all.
Yeah, I have not had a sip. And also thought that the pandemic was a great opportunity to quit chewing tobacco, which has turned out to be a...
Have you quit?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
You say good.
No, I do. I mean it. I mean it. Good for you.
So what's the habit or the vice that you picked up?
Baking.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
I don't think it's as dangerous as chewing tobacco, though.
So you go from nicotine Rick to diabetic Rick.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Insulin. This segment of the show brought to you by insulin. Now, this Saturday night on ESPN Plus, it's UFC. What name are we going to have in this beauty? UFC Fight Night. Prelims begin at 4 with the main card beginning at 7, culminating with the main event. Oh, that's not bad. Anderson Silva versus Uriah Hall. That's this Saturday night exclusively on ESPN Plus. Go to ESPNplus.com to sign up today. Are you ready?
I am. Listen, Dave, I've been looking forward to this the entire week.
All right, so it's going to be CMT mixed with an observation. So if you have a CMT you'd like me to ask the guys after Rick is done, shoot them on over at Rothenberg ESPN. CMT, the floor, my friend, as they say, is yours.
All right, here we go, fellas. To start off this CMT observations hybrid, I'm going to start with a did this happen in Florida observation. A man who paid $150 for a full contact experience with a black leopard says he had to undergo...
Wait. Hang on a moment. What is that? A full contact experience with a black leopard?
Yeah, to play with it, rub its belly, and take pictures. Yeah. This is like, listen, in Dave Rothenberg lingo, this is like the girlfriend experience that you used to pay for.
This is unbelievable. Continue. Chris, I'm going to walk right past you. Go ahead.
I would imagine you'd be mauled. It'd be a cougar that mauled you.
Yes, I imagine.
Did this happen in Florida?
Multiple surgeries.
Can I learn more about the story, please?
Yeah. He paid the $150. This was at what was supposed to be an animal sanctuary for rare and endangered animals, which is just someone's house and backyard. The man had to undergo multiple surgeries after he was mauled by the fully grown black leopard in the enclosure behind this man's house. It turns out the injuries were so severe, the report says, that the victim's scalp was hanging from his head.
Oh,
and
my
his
God.
Right ear was torn in half.
Now, was this, like, was there supervision? Obviously, it wasn't effective, but was the zoo or whoever was the owner of the leopard overseeing what was happening and trying to stop this?
I believe this is more like one of those champagne room experiences where no one's actually physically watching you, but could potentially be watching.
So whatever happens with the leopard mauling.
Yeah, this is the full. This is the full contact experience.
Oh my God! how much money? If I offered you $500 to go do this, would you do it?
How much?
$500. No.
$500. No.
Yes.
No chance. No.
The guy paid. The guy paid $150 for this experience.
He paid to get mauled by a black leopard.
He paid to get mauled by a leopard.
Now, if you told me, I wouldn't even say.
I mean, if he wanted to get mauled, he could pay a lot less, and I could drop him off somewhere in New York City.
I mean, I could take him to Toku on a Thursday night and get mauled by cougars all day.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Did that happen in Florida, gentlemen?
Yes. I think that sounds Floridian to me. I would say yes.
Christopher Candy, did that happen in Florida?
Yes, I'm going to say it happened in Florida, and it feels like a Carol Baskin vehicle.
It does. Yeah, it does feel like that. Ray Santiago, you love the full contact experience.
There we go. Full contact experience. He got the full contact experience. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's definitely Florida.
That was 100% Florida. That was Davie, Florida.
Davie, Florida.
Davie, Florida. I didn't even know they offered a full contact experience with...
Now what? Like, do you tell the leopard? Okay, by the way, Steve, he bought the full contact, so really go all out. If he only paid $50, we would just go, you know, minor league. Like, this is unbelievable to me.
How come you guys tied steak? Well, just it's yeah. in order to.
Well, he got the full contact. Why were there ribs attached to this man's legs? Well, he paid the $150. He got the full contact.
It's part of the full contact.
Come on,
just to ensure that they. Yeah. Gets the full contact. All right, here we go. A little CMT for week 8. Most impactful move so far. We've got the deadline right around the corner. I'm going to give you AB to Tampa. I'm going to give you Lev Bell to KC or Carlos Reg Dunlap to the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. I'm going. So it's AB, Lev Bell, Carlos Dunlap. I'm going to marry Antonio Brown.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I think that's the move. Listen, they've got injuries. Godwin's not going to be available for a week or two. So they have injuries at the wide receiver. Mike Evans does not look right at all. So I think it's a huge advantage to bring in Antonio Brown. I'll marry that one. I'll cuddle Dunlap. And that's what they need. They need a pass rusher
Bonk
desperately.
And Alacia Seed.
Hopefully he brings what they're looking for. So I'll cuddle Dunlap and Lev Bell. I think it's a nice piece. I don't think bringing Lev Bell in puts them over the top at all. I think they're probably the best team in football regardless. So I will trash one Le'Veon Bell.
Look at this garbage.
I mostly agree with Dave. I'm going to trash Le'Veon Bell too. Not that he's not a fine player and that I think he's going to be ultra productive for Kansas City, especially this weekend going up against Rick's Jets. But I'm going to trash that one. I am actually going to marry Carlos Dunlap joining the Seattle Seahawks just because the Achilles heel of Seattle right now is their defense. But getting him and then getting Jamal Adams back, I think that makes your defense a lot better. You're addressing the areas of need, which was the front end and the back end. You already got Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, which are damn good linebackers. So I think that Seattle defense in the second half of this season is going to get a lot better. I already thought they were a title contender coming into this season. Adding those two pieces, that's going to be huge. So I'm going to marry that. And I'll just cuddle the AB move just because I'm not sure how everything is going to work out down there. I know Tom Brady loves AB, but Bruce Arians hates him. So I'm interested to see what happens with that. I'll cuddle that.
All right, here we go, boys. Next one. Most excited to watch. Most exciting game to watch in Week 8. Bunch of different reasons. Obvious reasons. You know, you got Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Canty's going to, you know, love this game. You got Tua's first start, which is interesting. And then, of course,
who
you got the Rams.
Rams?
Yeah. In Miami. And then you got Lev Bell going up against his old team, the Jets.
Okay. Chris, you're up.
Well, Rico's right. He knows what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry the best rivalry in pro football.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't
And
marry
that would be my Baltimore Ravens going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, guys, this is unbelievable. This is like one of the greatest rivalries in sports. Like, this is right up there with Ohio State and Michigan. That's how good this rivalry is. I was glad I was able to be a part of it for 3 years. I'll marry that. I am going to cuddle Le'Veon Bell going up against the Jets just because I can't wait to see what he does. I mean, this is the Adam Gase defector all-stars. Like, once players get away from Adam Gase, they return to Pro Bowl level. So I just can't wait to see Le'Veon Bell stick it to the Jets this weekend and prove how bad Adam Gase is as a coach. And then I'll trash Tua's first start. You know, I don't know, man. I feel like this is going to be the first of many. This Miami Dolphins team has already shown that they're turning the corner in terms of their trajectory under Brian Flores and Chris Greer. I don't know how spectacular this start is going to be. So,
all right.
I'll trash that.
I will tag in here, and I'm going to disagree a little bit. I'll agree with where Chris started, and that's Pittsburgh-Baltimore. I mean, this is a battle for potentially the best team in the AFC, maybe second. I mean, it's a loaded AFC, so it's hard to tell, really. But this is a huge battle in the AFC, and I will marry that. But I will disagree. I'm really intrigued by Tua and Miami, and they're a good team to begin with. They're sitting here at 3-3, or a decent team to begin with, and maybe good, and we'll see what he's able to do. But I'm really intrigued by this, and they go up against the Rams, who are an excellent football team. So I will cuddle Tua Miami
bombs
against the Rams.
And hellacious seeds.
And I don't know, maybe for Chris and maybe for Rick, because you're the Jets fan, Rick, that you're really intrigued by this. But Lev Bell on a team that's a 20-point favorite, I know it's the Jets' former team, it doesn't move the needle a lot for me. So, yeah, down the road, maybe interested. This weekend, not so much. I'll trash that.
Garbage.
All right, here we go. Most likely upset of Week 8. Most likely upset. You got the Patriots traveling up to Buffalo. You got the Niners at Seattle. And then you got the Dolphins at home against the Rams. Most likely upset.
Miami and the Rams. All right, so Patriots, Buffalo, San Fran, Seattle. I'm going to marry... Boy. I'm going to marry San Fran and Seattle.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
As Seattle looks to make their pick during CMT. I'm gonna marry them. San Francisco's a team that, you know, injuries... They fight through them. They're so well coached. You know, they destroyed New England. They beat up on the Rams. Nobody thought that was going to happen. So I'll marry San Fran, upsetting Seattle. I will go to the Patriots as my cuddle.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
They've had amazing success against Buffalo. Belichick has owned the Bills over his tenure there. So can Cam Newton play that poorly for a third consecutive week? I would say, yeah, maybe he does, which would surprise me. But I would say that's my cuddle of these three. And I think the Rams are just better than Miami. So if Tua goes out there and in his first ever start beats the Rams, who are a good football team, it's going to be a dangerous club. I will trash Miami and Tua to win this game.
Santi, can I get the breaking news sounder, please?
Oh, boy.
Give me one more.
Is this a real one?
You need a
is
couple.
This legitimate?
I think you need one more, yeah.
Statement from the New York Giants. Late last night, we were notified that a Giants player tested positive for COVID-19. The player was immediately self-isolated, and the contact tracing process was initiated. All of the players' close contacts were identified and were informed to remain home today. Those individuals will participate in meetings remotely. We are working closely with the NFL's chief medical officer regarding next protocol steps. Quest Diagnostics Training Center will remain open, and the rest of the team will follow their normal practice and meeting schedule.
Ugh. Now, here's the first thing that comes into my mind.
It better not be DJ or Saquon.
Oh, that would be awful. Could you imagine that?
Better not be.
This is a Monday night football game. There's no way ESPN and the NFL does not want to have a Monday night football game. Do they swap out immediately, take the Giants, Bucks out of Monday night football, put another game there?
I mean, they did that last week.
Right.
To make sure they had a Sunday night football game.
Yeah.
It would make sense. But, yeah. We'll know shortly who this is.
I would think by the time Barton Hahn are done at 1 o'clock, we'll know who that Giants is.
Get Renan on it. Get him sniffing around.
I'm gonna text him right now. Go ahead.
I love Renan on FS1. First things first. He looks terrific.
Stop it.
Great job.
Stop it.
That's not him?
I'm not going to allow you to do this.
All right, Candy, what are you doing? Most likely to be upset. Pats at Buffalo, Niners at Seattle, Dolphins at home against the Rams.
Okay, I'm going to go with the I'm going to marry the Pats
if
pulling
it was
off the upset against the Bills.
Them.
I can't imagine New England looking as bad as they've looked the last few weeks up in Buffalo, knowing that the division is on the line. They got to get a win to stay in this race. So I don't know. I feel like Bill Belichick has got something up his hoodie, and he's going to pull it out in Buffalo. I'll cuddle the 49ers pulling off the upset against Seattle, although I don't know how likely it is, just the way that they demolished the New England Patriots at home. I mean, I can't ignore what I saw. San Francisco is one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams, but when they turn it on, I mean, they're capable of putting on some impressive performances. So I'll cuddle that one. And then I'll trash the Fins upsetting the Rams.
Santi, hit me with another caw-caw.
Oh, come on.
According to Tom Pelissero, the Giants have quarantined all but four of their offensive linemen after the one tested positive for COVID-19.
And one could ask if that's a bad thing or not.
I had the same thing happen in Vegas with the offensive
line. Oh, this is unbelievable. It really is. This 2020, I give up.
You got to fight through it, Dave. You have to battle through it. You have
2 months and a couple days left. All right, does that conclude an observation, CMT?
That's all she wrote, my man.
Great job by you. Santi, we have time for one quick one for the guys or no? He says no. All right, today on ESPN Daily, Antonio Brown reunites with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Mina Kimes joins us to talk about Brown's impact on the field, ongoing issues off the field, and how he landed in Tampa on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Guys, it didn't take long to find out which Giants player has tested positive. Tom Pelissero seems to be front and center with this story. So the Giants will place left guard Will Hernandez on the reserve COVID-19 list per a source. So the offensive line, like Rick said, is going to stay home except for four of them. And, you know, it's just this is 2020, Chris. This is where we are right now.
Yeah, it sucks for Giants fans. I mean, Will Hernandez is a good football player. I mean, the offensive line is an area that you can't afford to lose quality players at. And that's exactly what's happening right now due to COVID. I mean, this is something that's out of our controls. Sucks.
Especially against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the National Football League.
Yep. This is one of the better defenses in football. And you play them on Monday night. And I can't imagine the game's going to go on Monday night, being that it's up in the air right now. But, I mean, if you're the Giants already, you're not going to win this game regardless. And this just takes any chances away to almost even compete if you don't have your full offensive line.
Yeah,
Will the Giants' Hernandez, offensive line stinks to begin with.
Yeah, if Will Hernandez is not in there, then you're talking about what, Spencer Pulley or Shane Lemieux?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
That's
not
terrible.
Going up against Steve McClendon and Dominican Sue. That's not going to work out very well.
It's terrible.
So.
But does it make you, I mean, how much worse do you're what, 10.5-point favorites to begin with? So now it just means there's zero chance to win the game instead of 2% chance to win the game?
Well, I mean, you're still trying to develop a quarterback. You're still trying to see if Daniel Jones is your guy. Having Will Hernandez out is not going to help you to that end. So that's the part of it that's unfortunate,
because
this is an opportunity for evaluating him against one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I prefer not have my sixth overall quarterback in a second year killed.
Yeah, that would be nice.
On national television. I would try to avoid that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, though, because you're right. I mean, they're going to – I mean, the NFL wants a Monday night game, so we'll see what happens
to that game. You can't keep this game Monday night. This game will go to 1 or 4 on Sunday, and then they'll take one of those games that's scheduled for then, and they'll move it to the Monday night slot. That's what they'll have to do.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.